Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of 12th Hour Cross Fellowship of the Southern Congress, and I was out of 12th Hour. In the Orient Coast, today is August the 12th, 2025, or it's 8/20/2029. Our service today is going to be the time of reading number 18, number 1. And it's going to be the end of human idols and their worshipers. Okay, the end of human idols and their worshipers. We're going to read a phrase out taken from the Mount of Blessing. Ellen G. White, page 171. It is not safe for us to linger contemplating of the advantages to be reaped through the yielding unto the Satan's suggestion. Sins means dishonor and disaster unto every soul that indulges in it. But it is blinding and deceiving in its nature, and it will entice us with the flattering presentation if we venture on the Satan's ground. We have no assurance of the protection from his power. So far as in us lies, we should close every avenue by which the tempter may find access unto us. For the prayer bringeth not into temptation is itself a promise. If we commit ourselves unto the Yahweh the Father, and his son Yahshua, we have the assurance, for he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but still with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. We shall now kneel and pray that we may realize that sin is binding or blinding and deceiving in its nature, that it leads to dishonor and disaster, and that to be on the safe side, we must not even so much as contemplate yielding under Satan's suggestion, for once we venture onto his ground. We cannot expect the Yahweh's protection. Let us also thank the Yahweh for the comforting assurance that if we fully commit ourselves unto him, he will not allow us to be tempted above that we are able. For the end of the human idols now is a total of our sin, and we're in a prayer. Okay. And we start with the title to our sermon is the end of the human idols and the worshipers, December the 7th, 1947, by B.T. Haller. Corrected the 27th day by the Denton Bronken. 2005, March 27, 2005, I corrected this here, number 18. This afternoon we shall study Zechariah chapter 13. Let us begin with the first verse. And that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness, for the phrase and that day points back onto the preceding event. Back to the 12th chapter, there we find that the event is the great morning in the Jerusalem, chapter 12, verses 12, 14. So in the day of that great morning, this fountain is to be opened. For the finding of the time in which the morning takes place, it is necessary that we go further back into the 12th chapter. Better still, we should review the chapter from the first verse on, because there are about to be seven groups of the separate and distinct events, one following the other. For the outstanding events of each group are these. Number one, Jerusalem is to be made a cup of trembling, and the nations of the earth are to be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Number two, in that day the nations are together against them. Number three, in that day the Yahweh is to smite every horse. This is actually Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, that has come back to take charge of his great army. And Joel found Joel chapter 2. In that day, number three, the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, is to smite every horse with the astonishment, and his rider with the madness. And he is also to open his eyes upon the house of the Judah, for the governors of Judah are then to say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Yahshua of the host. So is that Yahshua, their father. Number four, in that day Jerusalem is to be inhabited. Again, number five, in that day he that is people among them is to be as the David, and the house of the David is to be as the Yahshua, Yahweh, as the Yahshua, as the son of Yahweh. In that day the Yahshua is to seek to destroy all of the nations that come against Jerusalem. For he will then pour upon the house of the David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of the grace and of the supplication. Number seven, and that day there is to be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Thus one event is contingent upon another, the last of which is the great mourning in Jerusalem. In the day of these events, therefore, the fountain for sin and for uncleanness is open. Let us now connect Zechariah 13:1 with verse 2. Zechariah 13:1-2, in that day, in the day that the great mourning takes place, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, which is the tribe of the house of David, for sin and for the uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land of Israel. See, for these two things stand out clearly in these verses, that the house of the David must come into the existence before the cleansing fountain is open. Number two, that the cleansing begins with the cutting off of the names of the idols and throwing out of the land the false prophets and the unclean spirits. In our previous study of the 10th chapter of the Zechariah, we learned that these idols are the kind that speak that they are men. There is no doubt, therefore, that those are the ministering brethren who the laity are idolizing. As a result, the laity are blindly following them. And whatever decisions the idols make concerning what is with the truth and what is with the error, what is sin and what is righteousness, those are the decisions that the laity does carry out. These idols, therefore, are creating a situation similar unto that which the priests, scribes, and the Pharisees created in the days of the Yeshua first advent. Consequently, the idol worshippers are not troubling themselves to personally investigate first messages, and they are thereby ignorantly following men rather than Yeshua and his advancing truth. These, along with the prophets and the unclean spirits, shall pass out of the land. Now this is important. These unclean spirits are the spirits of Satan. And so when these unclean prophets are cast out of the land, they have to have the spiritual rhythm. Zechariah 13:3-5, and it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Yeshua. And his father and his mother that beget him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman. For a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. For the name of the idol, the flattering titles of the men, shall forever be forgotten. Men shall never again be known by such titles. Thereafter, neither a false prophet nor an unclean spirit shall be tolerated in the land. In fact, not even a father or a mother will then tolerate their own son to pose as such, that they shall deliver him unto the execution. For it shall come to pass that the men who even now are exalting themselves and worst of all are preaching without their having been a saint shall be ashamed as they see the foolish teachings, tradition, and privacy, interpretations of the scripture. No longer will they wear the deceitful garment, rather they will say, I am no prophet, not even a pastor. I am only a herdsman, a common farmer. For the prophet Ezekiel also was given a glimpse of the situation. Yahshua a role unto the foolish prophets. Let's do that again. Thus said Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into their death, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in a battle in the day of the Yahshua, son of Yahweh. For they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying that the Yahshua said, and the Yahshua saith not, and the Yahshua hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, Yahshua said it. Howbeit, I have not spoken. Therefore, thus said to Yahshua, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, said to Yahshua, and mine hand shall be upon the prophet that see vanity and that divine lie, so they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of the Israel, and you shall know that I am the Yahshua, son of the Yahweh, because even because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and no others adopted it, with the untempered mortar. Say unto them, which adopted it, with the untempered mortar, that it shall fall, there shall be an overflowing shower, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. No, when the wall is falling, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith Yahshua, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstone in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with the untempered mortar, and bring it down unto the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Yahshua. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with the untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. Ezekiel 13:3-15. What a fearful responsibility that rests upon those who carelessly handle the word of the Yahweh, who pose as the sole guardians over the people. Both they and their abominations will fall in the dish. Indeed, if any reform is needed in the Christendom, this one is. Having now learned better, let us no longer make idols of men, let us no longer give place but in us to unclean spirit. Let us rather give the spirit of the Yahweh a chance to lead us unto his ever advancing truth. With the personal understanding, let us be the followers of the Lord. never again of the power of the Apollos or of the Cephas, Zechariah 13:6-7, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those of which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against a man that is my fellow, said to Yahshua of the host, son of Yahweh. Smite the shepherd, and his sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. I have no special comment for the making on the verses 6 and 7, other than what is commonly understood among the antithetical apostolic believers. It is plain to see, though, that after the Yahshua shepherd is smitten, then it is that the Yahshua will separate his people Zechariah 13:8. Let's do that again. It is plain to see, though, that after the Yahweh, the Father, the Father's shepherd is smitten, then it is that the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, will separate his people. Zechariah 13:8. And he shall come to pass that in all of the land, says the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And this separation, according unto the verse 8, the people are divided into the three parts. Evidently, they are the saints, the hypocrites, and the heathen. The two latter parts are to be cut off, separated from the saints. They are to die, concerning the future of the former third, let us read. And I will, that's in Zechariah 13 now, and I will bring the third part through the fire. And I will refine them as the silver is refined, and I will try them as the gold is tried. For they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, yes, Yahweh is my Father. In this connection, the gospel prophet, the one that teaches the plan of salvation of brothers, Everlasting Covenant of Yahshua, the New and Living Way, Hebrews 10:19-20, was instructed to write, for behold, the day of the Yahshua, Son of Yahweh, cometh, cruel, gross with the wrath and fierce anger, for the land of the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, for the stars of heaven and the consolation thereof shall not give the light, the sun shall be darkened, and its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and their wicked, for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the people, of the proud to see, and will lay low the hardiness of the table. I will make a man more precious than to find gold, even a man, the golden with the golden wedge of the altar, even a man, instead of the golden wedge of altar. Therefore, let's read that again. For I will make a man more precious than the fine gold, even a man. Than of the golden wedge of the Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heaven, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Yahshua of the host. and in the day of his fierce anger, and it shall be as a chaste bull, and as a sheep that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn unto his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Isaiah 13:9-15. Okay, let's continue. With this warning, the prophet Zephaniah adds, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will search Jerusalem with a candle, and punish the men that are settled on their leave, that say in their heart, yes, Yahweh will not do good, now they're going to do evil. Therefore their good shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. For they shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. For the great day of the Yahshua is near. For it is near, and haste is great news. Even the voice of the day of the Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. For the mighty man shall cry bitterly. That mighty man translates into the ministry of the house of Israel that got it all wrong, been preaching it all wrong for so long. For that day is a day of the rest, as a day of the trouble, and of distress, as a day of the wastes and desolation, as a day of the darkness and gloominess, as a day of the clouds and of the thick and the darkness, as a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced city and against the high towers, and I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like the blind men, because they have sinned against the Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as the dust, and their flesh as the down. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Yahshua's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of their jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Zephaniah 1:12-18. For these scriptures are self-explanatory, and they make our subject as clear as a crystal. As soon as the house of David is set up, as soon as the first priest reached the Mount Zion, at the 12th hour in the Jerusalem, and there stand with the Lamb, Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, that has come down from heaven, sent by his Father, to sit upon the throne of David in the house of the everlasting kingdom of heaven. That has sit upon his earth, and Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David. And that's Daniel 2:44-45, and there shall stand with the Lamb, the cleansing fountain will be open. Okay, so then it is that the great harvest will begin during which every grain of the wheat shall be put into the barn. Then it is that every good fish shall be put into the vessel, whereas every bad one shall be cast out. Matthew 13:48. Then it is that everyone having on the wedding garment shall be served the wedding supper, but everyone having not the garment on shall be cast into the outer darkness. Matthew 23:11-13. in the terms of the parable, all this can be summed up as follows. Those who successfully aim to be spared as a wheat, as a good fish, and to put on the wedding garment, are those who have found the field of the great treasure and the pearl of the great price, and have done all for the purchasing of them. So shall it be at the end of the world, for the angel shall come forth and save the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of the fire. This shall be the wailing and gnashing of the teeth. Matthew 13:49-50. Solemn time we have come to. Brother and sister, now is the time for the putting on of the right garment. Now is the time for the buying of the deal with the great treasure and the pearl of the great price. Shall you? Shall I? Is a great question that we must quickly settle without other people's influence or interference. We shall now be able to see how the plan of salvation of the everlasting covenant is our share, the living way, Hebrews 10:19-20, is that he's finished. In other words, that's the same thing. That's a long term for the word gospel. Teaching, having faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. And that's the whole idea that we have had about it is merely a human fabrication, for it is now clearly seen how the sinners are made saints, how the Yahshua great fountain is capable of changing all of us, of making us as bright as the sun if we let him. So it matters not what we were yesterday. The important thing is what we are to be from today on. We should not be among that class of the people who quarrel over the trivial matters, really, who do not care to discuss the weighty subjects such as this one. If we do not come unto a knowledge of the truth, if we do not let it do his intended work in us, how can we ever be fitted to live in the presence of a holy God? Well, you see, believing or not, believing in the truth such as it really means something. But to argue as some do over a point such as the 3 days and the 3 nights in the heart of the earth without the true understanding of it, Matthew 12:40, with nothing to do about it, even if the argument be won, is worse than criticism, for the devil would have us busy ourselves with the unimportant matters and with the things that we do not understand. Well, let me tell you something. In 1931, after the ship was brought by them, one came off the upper press. We published a 2-page article that we said that was that what the Yahweh has led us into is neither all truth nor no truth. Since that time, we have published another book and over 20 tracks besides the series of atomic reading, all containing the doctrine of matter, for these publications have been scattered, far and wide throughout the denomination. But under this day, the denomination has not once officially attempted for the refuting any subject in its entirety. They ever try to take away what we have on of these scriptures, but never give us something better. All we have heard or seen is the garbage, or some such procedure as followed by the first day keepers, Sunday keepers, while debating with the Sabbath keepers. I know that it is not a Bulgarian from the Rodo Mountains who has made the scholarly American scratch their head. It is not possible that such a one could have shaken this SDA denomination from the center to the circumference if you do not know who it actually is. Then you had better find out about the lead. These little weeklies that cost you nothing are of the process worth under you. Read and keep them in your library for the time will surely come when you will be thankful that you have preserved your copies. This brings the end of that. One Time Agreement, number 18 by B.G. Hoff, and I studied today on that subject of what we just read on Zechariah 13.